speaking? Yes.
I'm Lisa Bartels. I live at 16456 Broder or Old Mill Road. I'm going to change the subject. We're going environmental. All right. So I'm one of the landowners. We are all landowners on these parcels with understanding that our we care for our property, and what we do on our property can impact our well water because we are all on well water. And we have rules and governances on our properties that dictate those rules so that everyone is following. We don't want to piss in our own water, let's be honest. Unfortunately, we have grave concerns with this proposed project that it would cause great environmental concerns for us. These are the subjects I want to talk about today. If you can go to the... As you can see, there's a large amount of forest area and woods area that is directly across the street from me that is going to be bulldozed and replaced with an impervious surface. Next slide. Yep. Just want to remind you, this is an example of a wonderful recharge area. This is a recharge area. It is designated that area as part of the AR1, as part of as part of AR1 and as part of the area of draining into the Greater Jordan River Reserve, and that is going to be eliminated. Next slide. There's discussion already been had about flooding. Currently on Broder's Road, we do not flood. I know it's maybe mentioned it was a high point or a low point. I don't think that you can say what it is right now compares to anything that it's going to be. All of the trees, which suck up water, and all of the ground will be replaced by a large strip of impervious circumstances of buildings, parking lots, and storage units. And I have concerns about the drainage, as also has brought up. There's no plans and no buffer in the posterior on Broder Lane and on Old Mill for catchment of that surface runoff water, which we know can contain harmful things. I also have concerns about our, and again, we are all on well water. Right now, our well water is safe. However, that is certainly in jeopardy with the creation of this apartment complex. I have concerns about soil, both for the runoff, but also for the potential of hazardous chemicals. Adjacent to our property will be the garages, storage units, and perhaps trash. We don't know where the trash is going to be situated. Dumpster style trash, I'm sure, with 150 apartments, with no control, again, no buffer, no drainage to help mitigate any potential pollutants that are draining off into our soil. I also have concerns about the air. This is an industrial size construction project with clear cutting the land and building large buildings, especially for this area. You know that industrial size construction creates a lot of environmental pollutants, both for the soil, the water, but also for our air quality. And as already mentioned, we live on sand. So this dust and the sand clouds that will be made as this forested area is clear cut, and then the digging that will go on to create these will all cross over the 20 feet strip buffer that is the minimum requirement that the developer is maintaining between their land and our land. And as clearly was demonstrated, there's only 100 feet from the back of their storage units to the back of our closest house. That's not an adequate buffer to prevent us from getting sick from the air quality during construction phase, and potentially also during the living phase, where there can be cars idling, hundreds of cars idling in the parking lot, and whatever else is going on in these storage facilities. I also have concerns about the environmental effects of noise. Of course, during the construction phase, there will be lots of loud noise. I'm sure it will be during certain hours of the day, but we have families with very young children that are home during the day. We have retirees. We have people that are unhealthy and have compromised immune systems. So both the air and the water and the soil will protect, but also the noise. There also will be now noise from hundreds of new cars really on a 0.2-mile street. This is not, this road runs parallel to Broder's Road, and so our five houses will now have 150 new neighbors. In addition, there will be, you know, hundreds of new tenants, so I guess I will classify myself as a young professional. We're loud, and we like to make a lot of noise. And so I will characterize myself. I'm concerned about the noise that 150 tenants will potentially make on a street where there's five houses on the other side of the street, where our street is so quiet, you can hear crickets right now. I have large concerns about the lighting. Our street is dark at night, in fact. And so there will be now a large parking lot with downlights and signage. And I have concerns about the headlights coming in and out of this apartment complex. There will now be no tree buffers, so they will be shining into our houses, disrupting our privacy. And we all know that there are huge health concerns for this, but also there's health concerns for light at night and our young children that are school-aged children that play on this street. I have large concerns for the animals. Part of the reason why my family bought on this street is because it was wooded and quiet, and we wanted that for our raising our young children. I have a 2- and 5-year-old. We see deer, we see foxes, we see raccoons, we see skunks, unfortunately. We see squirrels and migratory birds. We see frogs and turtles, and all of this will be greatly harmed with the reduction of this large wildlife corridor that connects the wooded parcel down in the lower left to the large wooded strip that is above this, past the boatyard. All of that wildlife corridor will be removed with the reduction of this AR1 property. Also, as I was saying, this area flows into the Great Marsh. And next slide, please. So I want to talk again about our quality of life, and I really want to hit this home. This is our road right now. Area property is where the three young boys and my 2-year-old daughter play. They are currently digging for gold, so that's a upturned wheelbarrow where they're collecting dirt. The previous picture showed further down the road where there's a skinny lane of lollipop pines that are saplings currently. That is the picture as that is the buffer. Those are not long-term trees, and they're saplings. They're not creating a buffer zone. What you see is the end of the forest, and that will all be bulldozed and gone. And that 20-foot barrier will be the barrier between our subdivision and the start of their subdivision. And so we're going to lose our wonderful view and our playground for our children right now. Next slide. This is my concern. This is the construction phase, and I don't think we have officially said how many years that they planned to take for this, but we all know that a large-scale construction like this is going to take many years. So this is what we will see across the street from us for many years. We've lived through individual houses being developed on our street, but this is a whole other scale. The developer stated in the P&Z that they plan to do it all at once. So they're going to clear cut and make it look like this and then put in their infrastructure. And so my concerns are about the health, the trash, the pollution, the arsenic, solvents, lead that you know is involved in construction, the CO2, the methane from the large-scale vehicles burning diesel fuels that are needed to move earth and create these things, our air quality when digging. Again, we are on sand, so the plumes of dust and debris that's going to be covering our house and our children are going to be breathing in, and our elderly residents in our neighborhood. I have concerns about the safety of our children. Again, I know the 100-foot was, but at the P&Z Council, it's a 20-foot buffer. So can you imagine sitting in the third row and allowing your children to go outside and play with a construction zone across the street from you of the scale that this is going to be? This is a 0.2-mile construction on our street. And again, I have concerns about the animals that are going to be affected during this. They use this as a wildlife corridor. Again, a concern about our quality of life. Please remember that us on Broder Lane will not even have that beautiful picture, because we will be looking at the posterior of the storage units that will line the street in the new planned construction. So we will look at the back of concrete buildings that will be the storage units. I have concerns about pollution. There's no control, there's no safety for us, for them to not turn around and walk around the back of their storage unit and dump their trash, to dump chemicals. I'm concerned about the noise, that will be created from people working on their garages, moving in and out of their garages. Again, the area. Again, concerns about even after construction, our livelihood. We have young children. We picked to live in this community, this AR1 community, because of its safety, because of its wooded area, because my kids can run through the woods, and I can stand on the street and not be nervous that they're going to be hit by cars or something bad is going to happen to them. We love the quiet of the forest. We are a community of exercisers. When I moved in, no fewer than 5 people told me, hey, if you run the perimeter of our community, it's 3 miles. And so we will lose that with the addition of all of these cars on that road, that safety that we have right now from being a quiet community. Also, a lot of us were excited, even though we risk our lives, to start using the new rail trail that's up at the corner of New Road. So we do risk our lives from getting from our road opposite traffic to Route 1, but the addition of all of those cars will make that impossible to be able to ride your bike safely. I also want to remind everybody that this proposed apartment building has no walkability to amenities. There's no restaurants, there's no grocery stores, there's no pharmacies, there's no doctor's offices. Everybody leaving this community will be leaving in their car. So it's not a great place for this healthy lifestyle that they are promoting. Again, I want to bring up the flooding, and I want to go back to that in terms of the water quality. Again, on the, let me pull up my notes here. I'll start on the east side where Broder's Lane is. Again, our buffer will be gone, our tree line buffer will be gone, and there's no details for any sort of rainwater catchment area or storm facility management area on the east part of the development. Same for the south side, which is Old Mill Road. There's a destruction of the tree buffer and huge potential for flooding with all that impervious surface flooding out to the sides. On the south side, which is the Highway 1, that is the proposed area for their stormwater management facility. However, I would like to point out that there's no discharge area for them to go without going through a neighboring business. And so I think that DelDOT, I'm worried that potentially could cause flooding onto Route 1, actually, and I hope DelDOT has had the chance to weigh in on that. And then on the north side, it borders adjacent businesses with no barrier. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there another speaker in your group?
Excuse me, did you sign in?
I can.
Thank you, please.
There you go. She keeps you accountable.
Glenn. To you, Glenn.
Good afternoon. My name is Glenn Vernon. I live at 16707 Snipe Drive, Lewis, Delaware, in the Nassau Acres. I just have a couple of quick questions I wanted to see. First of all, it was talked about earlier was the sewer hookup for this project. It's my understanding that all the sewer connections right now are on the west side of Route 1, and there's in our way of thinking it would take millions of dollars to bring that across to service this project. The other thing that was kind of brushed by was the school bus issue. The Cape Henlopen School District, as according to DelDOT, they're required to notify them before 30 days before any hearing on this project for any project that's going to exceed 50 houses. Of course, this is a lot greater than that, and they seem to think that it's only going to generate a few kids for the school, but it doesn't matter if it's just one kid. They're supposed to contact them to find out where they place the bus stops, can they go into that subdivision to pick up the kids? As they mentioned earlier, on most of Old Mill Road, the school buses have to back down into another street to turn around. So there's no past their project. If the school bus goes going up in that direction, they still have to do that. Other thing that the frontage on this, and we've looked at some of the diagrams on how much how wide the lane should be and the turning lanes and if there's a bike lane, and it appears that they might not have enough property to put all these lanes in. And then we were just wondering if the developer had contacted any of the landowners there to see about purchasing additional property for the required amount of turning lanes and bike lanes that this project would create. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, is there anyone else with your group? Yes, okay.
Yes, sir. Hello. My name is David Williams. I'm a resident of 32217 Sandpiper Drive, Nassau Acres, Lewis. Some of what Glenn had referred to with regard to our current neighborhood, I'd like to address, and some of the other people too, with regard to, it's listed as improvements, but I would like to maybe change that to modifications required to Oak, because I don't think there's any improvements involved in any that needs to be done here. The turning lanes that I think would be required by this project, given the fact of whether it's left, right in, right out on Route 1, the main entrance will still be on Old Mill Road. And in order to permit access to that, it is our understanding that there would have to be turning lanes and bypass lanes in order to accommodate this. I think it was mentioned that they were aware of widening the road to 11 foot wide lanes. However, that's only one lane in each direction. You need to have a way of getting around the traffic as it's stacked, waiting to get through a gated community, as it was listed. We need to get in and out while they're trying to get in and out. We need to share the road. There's bike lanes required, and there's shoulders required. So all total, this could end up being a total of about 60 feet's worth of throughway. And as Glenn mentioned, I don't think that there was any indication of how that land would be acquired in order to accommodate that. From the overview of our neighborhood, there's five communities in there, all of which are single-family homes. Trees remain. Every one of the roads that goes into any one of those communities is a dead-end road ending in a cul-de-sac. There's one way in, one way out, including Old Mill. So there's no turnarounds. Actually, you might want to consider Old Mill Road an extension of our driveways, because that's basically what it is. It's servicing the homes that are there with no other through traffic permitted. So the addition of a proposed apartment complex such as this and the required changes would be totally out of character and disrupt our life and our driveway. The prior precedents that were set by two separate request applications, one in 2004 and one in 2014, cited reasons for the denial that the Old Mill Road was inadequate to support the additional traffic, and the usage is totally out of character with the adjoining Old Mill communities and the facing residents. So here again, we would like to reinforce that idea in that this should follow those precedents. The projected additional 1,600 daily trips that are going to be required as a result of the addition of 150 apartments are going to totally disrupt the privacy and the quality of our life in the neighborhood. There's going to be shining headlights. The gated main entrance on Old Mill Road sits directly across from several homes that are right on Old Mill Road on the opposite side of the street, but in specific, there's a resident, the Satchel resident, who would have headlights just beaming right in their front window. And if you can imagine having to live in something like that, where traffic is going by your house all the time and in and out of a driveway that is directly across from your home, it's not what we would like to have as part of our quality of life. The other thing that really is important to think about and not forget would be the disruption of the road's usability all the time that this construction is going on, and that's going to carry us through many, many years, as you can see. So the density of this particular unit is totally out of character. We support having the land used for other reasons, single-family homes such as ours. We'd welcome new neighbors, and we ask that you would deny this request. It's totally out of character. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry? Is there one more, you say?
Two more.
Okay, two more.
Three more.
Uh-oh.
It's impressive.
Thank you all. You're reaching close to the end. I thank you for your time and your patience. I think I'm going to be making the emotional argument. You've heard some arguments that are fairly technical, and my arguments will be brief, in part because, lucky for you, many of these things have already been covered. I think it's evident that my neighbors have laid out an extremely comprehensive and knowledgeable response to the proposal before you. With that, I might add the assistance of any legal counsel. So, in our neighborhood, we have a diverse mix of residents. They include civil engineers, a medical doctor, a veterinarian, a judge, a federal agent, a college professor. I'm a retired college administrator, small business people, retirees, working people. The one thing we all have in common, as you can see, is that we all agree that this is a really difficult thing to swallow. I want to emphasize that we're not reflexively saying that we do not condone any development in our neighborhood. We're not NIMBY folk. We're not in my backyard. You've heard people say that if the proposals were reasonable, if they did not have such a huge impact on the neighborhood, we would go along with that. We're not unreasonable. I mean, my wife and I moved to this neighborhood 3 years ago. We came down from Princeton, New Jersey. We've owned a home here for 12 years, and before that we owned another weekend home in Delmarva, farther down the road. So we're not really strangers to this area. We chose to retire to this neighborhood because of its natural beauty, its serenity, and because the previous developers of our neighborhoods were sensible in the attention they gave to the environmental character of the neighborhood, of the region. So what we noticed when we moved in was that this development, all of these developments in our region, were different from what we were seeing being built all around us. And you folks are very familiar with that. I'm talking about developers, investors who come in and clear cut, as we've heard an awful lot about. They erect cookie cutter homes. They pay no attention to or take no pride in the aesthetics of what they're building. And I think you've seen these. I just think that there are folks who are destroying the extraordinary beauty of our area, and an area that we are very fortunate to live in, all of us. So we believe that development eventually will come. That's not our issue. But we suggest that before anyone makes a move to come to this community and do all of this clear cutting of old wood forests and constructing 150 units. I mean, if someone had said to me years ago when we first drove into our community that there's going to be a 150 unit apartment complex going up, I would have said that's ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. And I still feel the same way. Let's face it, for all the reasons currently laid out to you, This development defies common sense and logic. I recognize that beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but this is an area that was designated AR1 for good reasons. Your own comprehensive plan designates it as an environmentally sensitive area. You've heard that over and over again today. I could quote from your comprehensive plan. I won't. I did that before the Planning and Zoning Commission. But your words attest to the fragility of this area. So I want to close with this. I know that you understand the obligations of government, but it doesn't hurt to repeat them. Government's primary purpose is to provide for the safety and welfare of its residents, and included in that obligation is to protect open spaces, build good schools, ensure stable property value, and yes, provide safe and affordable housing. We submit that allowing this kind of construction of this kind of complex would violate each of these obligations. Sensible development is expected, and we do not oppose that, but there is nothing sensible, in my opinion, about what is being proposed today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next of your speakers. Yes, and if since some of you are planned speakers, if you come to the front so you're right ready to go forward, please.
All right. You want to sign in? My name is Suzanne Hain. I'm a resident of Sandpiper Drive, Nassau Acres. And I just want to introduce Linnell, who's going to talk to you. This video, I also want to, you have experienced Route 1 accessing on, but the rest of you haven't. So we thought we'd give you the experience of sitting on Old Mill and trying to just get across to the median. You got to do the other thing. So make it go. Okay. And this was on October, Sunday, October, in October, not July 4th.
My name is Linnell Hearn, and I'm a little old senior citizen, and still blessed to be able to drive. It seems like my purpose lately is to help folks who cannot. So I want to tell you about now, not in the future, not when they get this thing built, but now, because I don't worry about the future. 2025 or 2026, or whenever Del decides to improve around here. I want you to come with me on almost every day of my life. I live back in the woods next to the cornfield, and when I come up to Route 1 down Old Mill, I used to be, this only taught me patience because I just sat there quietly until the traffic light at Five Points changed. And then you had a gap and you could go out and get in the middle. Well, now that's gone because there is no gap. When you wait for the light to change at Five Points, when the gap should occur, the cars are peeling off. They're waiting all the way down to the bakery to come out to merge onto Route 1. So they fill the gap. So there's no gap. So I only wait long enough for that to change now. I say a quick prayer, and I just try to cross the highway in a little bitty space and get in the middle. So I'm sitting in the middle, which requires even more vigilance than what I just did, because the left southbound lane, I look up and it's clear for me to merge and go south. But Minas Conaway, if there are any cars coming out there, the people in the slow lane merge into the fast lane to avoid them. And so they come out right where we're going out onto the road. So there have been a lot of accidents there. I heard quotes today about how many, but I've seen several. One thing I thought, though, could be done right this minute. Somebody mentioned that 55-mile-an-hour sign at the bottom of the bridge. If you just remove that, because when they get to the top of that bridge, it's like pedal to the metal, and they're going at least 65. So if you just, so because we have 45 to there, but if you just take that sign away so people won't see it, that would, I think that would help in the now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm your last speaker, at least of the known group. My name is George Dellinger. I live on Sandpiper Drive in Lewis. My role is to remind you of tradition and precedent. We have two very viable precedents. But before we do that, I'd just like to point out that there seems to be some confusion whether or not the complex would be allowed direct access to Route 1. And there was this impression that perhaps that would make things safer if they did. It will make things more dangerous if they do. Because now it'll be more simultaneous traffic entering that limited Route 1 going north flow all at the same time. You could put 10 entrances there from the complex. It would make it even more dangerous. The fact is it's a single point bottleneck, and it's risky and it's dangerous, and it's at the base of Nassau Bridge. It's got to be fixed. If this project has any possibility of going forward. Now, with regard to precedents, the two that we're referring to, one was in 2004, and the other one was in 2014. The one was for bringing in a dozen apartments. That was deemed inappropriate because it was inconsistent with the land use and with the local habitat. Also, would it generate more traffic? It was right in the records. The records are really clear. Also for CU 1998, Todd Fisher talked about that. Now he talked as if he was a homeowner. His application was to put up a multi-story storage complex. He's a commercial investor looking for a commercial opportunity. We're a residential neighborhood. The precedents are there. This one was 2004, this one's 2014. Our request to you is to honor those precedents. Honor the lifestyle that we have. Honor the density that we have. Honor the purity to the AR1 concept that we have. Back on slides 27 and 28 were two pictures of two of our streets in our particular community. Take a ride on your way home. Drive through any of our neighborhoods. All you'll see are houses and trees, single family houses and trees. You won't see some giant complex of apartment buildings that just don't belong here. Our request to you, please deny these applications and encourage the developer to resubmit his application to put in an AR1 community and join us as a neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, is there anyone else that would like to speak? I saw a hand there.
Three more.
I didn't see you around the corner there. Won't you come right to the front?
Good afternoon. I'm with the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. Historically, SARGE does not provide comment on applications. But I think this one here has much broader application than just this application. I've provided, for illustration purposes, the plus map that currently exists on the system. The blue text are the roadways, just so you have a bearing in terms of exactly what we're talking about. The yellow boxes are those applications that have gone through the plus process or are in the plus process today. There's six of them, all submitted in 2018. The red markings are future Del Dot concept plans to include the cave neck separated grade and the bypasses, if you will, along Minus Conaway. Down the left-hand side of this page, starting at the top with Overbrook Meadows, It's a 114-acre site. It was denied in terms of a commercial application. Going forward, it went through plus. 105 units had been approved by both planning and zoning and the council. There's another 140 homes that have yet to be submitted into the plus system. So that's 240 homes on the east side of Route 1. That'll generate about 2,600 vehicle trips per day, estimate. If you come directly across the street, Chapel Farms, Hudson Development is planning a development there that will be 150 residential townhomes. Probably look very similar to what's being planned for Nassau property. It'll also have 45,000 square feet of retail space. That is due to come back from PLUS next week, and I'm assuming it will be in front of planning and zoning within the next 60 days, and in front of you within probably 90 days. That's 156 dwellings, 48,000 square feet of commercial space. That's about 1,600 additional vehicle trips. From what we've learned today, the Nassau property, 150 residents, 1,600 vehicle trips, quick math, that's 50 dwellings, 5,200 vehicle trips. The challenges that we have in this corridor coming south are a lot bigger than the 1,600 we're talking about from the Nassau property application. On the right side of the PLUS map, we have the Groom property. Important meeting tonight, by the way, where DelDOT is going to present what their plans are. That's 293 units on 134 acres. That's about 3,000 vehicle trips. Some of those folks will make an option. Instead of going west and south, they may have a need to go north someday. And obviously, that's going to impact that Cave Neck to Five Point corridor. I'm not going to spend any time talking about Tranquility Breakwater or Orchard Plaza. They're both commercial developments. But again, this speaks to the activity just in the last 10 months in terms of applications into the PLUS process. From time to time, Sarge is open to the public in terms of what's on their mind. So a couple questions have come up relative to this particular application. One of those questions was, just forward. Thank you very much.
You might have to do it, Janelle.
Okay, it's just fine. This is fine up here. That's a good wallpaper.
Did it lock up?
One of the questions was, during the past 12 months of study on the Five Points Transportation Work Group, were these six land use applications considered? I attended several of those meetings. I looked at the recommendations. The only thing that was referenced there was minus Conaway and the work that was proposed to be done around that. I spoke at one of those workshops. I made the point that land use was the 800-pound elephant in the room. Coming out of that recommendation, there was nothing said about how demand on that intersection is going to be driven by land use decisions, whether through applications, ordinances, what have you. And I think that's a shortcoming. I think the biggest impact on that intersection is land use decisions. Second question we heard was, why do we continue to approach each land use application independent of what else is in queue in the State Plus process? More importantly, can the county ensure the public that you are working in concert with DelDOT with a wider angle lens than the single application that is on the agenda on any given Tuesday? Now, I have to comment on the proposal from the developer with regards to a fee in lieu of a traffic impact study. Why not? If you can simply pay a fee instead of going through the rigor and finding the facts with regards to what the impact from traffic will be, I'd sign up for that as well. I think there should be a traffic impact study that's done, not on access to and from Nassau property. There should be a traffic impact study done between Route 16, where the proposed overhead separated grade is going in, all the way down to Route 24. Because people who enter into the Nassau property are coming from someplace. And people that leave Nassau property, they're going someplace. And it's most likely going to be along that corridor. Another question was asked with regards to, can the county demand, ask, request for a traffic impact study? I think we really need to understand what power you have in that regard. If nothing else, can you influence the standards in which that impact study is run? I mean, typically there are four or five intersections in either direction. I think that needs to be considered. I would find it difficult for DelDOT to refuse that an impact study be done on a much better, bigger landscape than simply a single application. And then the last question was regarding the Nassau property public hearing scheduled for this afternoon. I was going to make these comments earlier today, but I opted to wait, and I'm glad I did. I learned so much from the previous speakers and those great neighborhoods. In the packet that was provided on the website, it referenced DelDOT Director of Planning Drew Boyce from the November 20th meeting. And again, I thought that was very vague. And I think there really needs to be an understanding from DelDOT. In his comments, he said we're going to start and build a new southbound lane from the south end of Red Mill Pond. There's no indication where it would end. He says they're going to take the northbound lane and they're going to turn that into a service road heading north, and it's going to service the Nassau property. But he's not clear in terms of where it begins and where that ends. And most certainly, if we're going to consider service roads, should we not consider service roads at the very least from where the Cave Neck separated grade is going to be built? And again, I just think that we need to step back. And Mr. Burton, I thought you raised the right question, and that is, so when are you planning to build this? I think the bigger question is, when will we be prepared for that to be built based on the impact that not only Nassau property presents, but anything along that 2 mile stretch from Cave Neck and as far south as you think you need to go? Once again, I always consider it an opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. And there's a lady right here.
Good afternoon. My name is Ruth Shiflett. I live at 16447 Old Mill Road. It happens to be the third house on the right going down Old Mill Road. I was here a couple years ago when they had a hearing for the boat storage, and I'm quite surprised that we're all here again. We all agree. I'm sure we all agree that we do not need this. Excuse me. We do not. Well, we shouldn't even be here again today, because it's practically an insult to have wanted to put what is now on the east side of the Nassau Bridge and appears to be doing well. That's the boat storage. And now we have this looking us in the face. And it is extremely frustrating. My husband and I have lived there for 18 years. Fortunately, when we moved there, the traffic was very minimal. there were not problems as there are today going in and out of Old Mill Road. That is by far the most important issue that's on the agenda today, is what it would do to all of us. Our lives are in jeopardy every time we go in and out of our road, between the school buses, the trucks, the traffic that's flying across the bridge, the traffic that's flying down New Road, the traffic that's busting in front of us. They have no respect. It says yield. Coming to the end of New Road, it says yield, and I fully believe it should say stop. So I'm totally against it, like everyone else on this side of the room. And I was going to say we're all against it. However, there's one in here today. And that's how it goes. There's always one. And there's only one.
He's entitled to his opinion, too.
Exactly. Exactly. So thank you for hearing me. And I'm hoping it doesn't go through, because we have so much at risk for each and every person that lives down that road, and we enjoy the deer crossing. We stop all the time. We drive slow. One of the biggest issues is we've had drugs down the road, and there's been drug arrests. There was a drug overdose just about a month ago. And there's also drugs in the first house, the first house on the right. And the police won't even go there anymore. They're so afraid of those guys, and they are constantly firing their guns. So we don't even call anymore. So we have enough issues with a couple troublemakers. We don't need 130 more coming in and out of the road that we dearly love. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you can just make sure you sign in, please. Thank you.
Okay, any other speakers? One more. Now, we've heard about density, traffic on Old Mill, Route 1, environmental issues, flooding, character of the neighborhood.
What's left?
So you can say ditto.
My name is Keith Betts, and I live at 32140 Oak Drive. And again, I appreciate your patience with hearing all the comments, but I think it is important that we get a chance to express our views on the matter. I love Sussex County. I've lived here all my life. My family's been here before the Revolutionary War. And matter of fact, the foundation of my mom's house in Milford is still remaining. The house where my grandfather was born is still from pre-revolution. And I appreciate that you guys are here trying to control the growth in the county and moderate growth with maintaining the character of our land. On that note, some people have done really well, like Governor Peterson with the Coastal Zone Act. And thank God for that, we would have nothing left of what we remember. And in this particular area, with the Great Marsh area in that corridor, it's about the last of what we remember. And I think it's important to keep it preserved. Moving on, my wife and I, when we chose to live here in this development, I sold about 100 acres, and I sold it as it was zoned by Planning and Zoning and County Council. I didn't try to, be greedy and demand upzoning and, force some monstrosity on my neighbors. And I carefully chose this neighborhood because it was zoned AR1, but more importantly that, it was also in the statewide comprehensive development plan, a level 4 development area, which means that area, everything behind our tree-lined houses is just field in the Great Marsh, and the statewide plan was for it not to be developed. And we chose very carefully because of the growth in the area, where we were going to live, because it would not then turn into, you know, a big urban commercial area. And on that note, I just want to address the statewide comprehensive development plan, designating that as a level four investment area. And I will quote, the state guidelines for development in a level four area are for any state investment in that area is only for what supports agricultural preservation, natural resource protection, and the continuation of the rural nature of these areas. This development, clear cutting, it, you know, if you address each of those areas, does it support agricultural preservation? It does not. Does it support natural resource protection? It does not. Does it support the continuation of the rural nature of this area? It absolutely does not. And the statewide plan says that new development and suburban development are not supported in those areas. And again, this high-density eyesore, you know, it doesn't fit the area. And like I said, those of us that chose to buy there, we chose it because of how it was zoned and how the surrounding Great Marsh plan was zoned. And, you know, we're hoping that you guys will understand that and preserve that. Regarding the statewide need, you know, they're bringing up the affordable housing and renting. According to the statewide housing review and the HUD development, that says that we need more affordable housing, you know, east of Route 113. That does not say that it has to be in this area of tree-lined streets in this particular area. It just means we need more affordable housing, more rental housing east of 113. There's tens of thousands of acres east of 113, including in this area, that are already zoned for high-density affordable housing. This area is not. This is AR1, again, level four. So there's not a need there. That argument is just a buzzword, as you all know, that developers are trying to use. And in terms of traffic, that's all the minutiae has been on over and over, so I'm just going to make it really brief and short. And Mr. Burton, I'm sure you know the area, you'll understand. The video we just saw, that was from October. On high peak hours, you know, around the 4th of July, it takes me 15 minutes to cross that road, go left. That's one car every 15 minutes. You know, so four cars in an hour, be able to get it 4th of July across and go south. This development, in their own words, said it's going to add another 200 cars per hour, peak hour. It's impossible. 4th of July, you know, in the summer and in the shoulder season are going on, you cannot make 200 more lefts there. It's impossible. Traffic will not be able to go out. It will not be coming in. There'll be no access, no egress. It'll be total gridlock. I'm not going to mention anything else about traffic, but I just implore you to please, you know, respect, you know, our rights as homeowners that have bought according to how things were zoned and how the state wants that region, you know, bordering the Great Marsh to be remain rural, and just to respect that and to deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
I believe Mr. Burton had a question about the service road and the access across from Old Mill Road. Based on the most recent information of the showing the service road, the crossover Route 1 would be closed and the access would just be through the service road.
Yeah, my real question was, what are we doing until then?
Right.
I mean, I understand that you're coming out of Monas Conaway, you got to make a right to go north. I got that. I think somebody's got to say between now and then, what happens if this goes through, because it's a dramatic change. But I'd like DelVat to say, hey, you know, here's our plan. Here's our temporary fix for this ring.
And I think that might be something, if you so choose to, the council so chooses to move, is that could be something like that as a condition of approval that you would like to see Delta try to do something as a temporary fix, and Everett can confirm if I can, we can at least ask. I don't know if we can.
Okay. My question wasn't, right. I mean, I understand when it gets done, right. It's all better. It's getting there.
Well, I would just want to say, not as a condition of approval, but just as a reason to keep the record open to let them address the concern, yeah. Right? Whether or not it's conditional upon an approval or not is a separate discussion, but is that something we can keep the record open to allow DelDOT?
We have closed the public hearing, yes, you can keep the record open if you desire.
For that reason.
For whatever reason you desire.
First thing we're going to do, we'll close the public hearing.
Yes. Right.
And then we will see if anybody on council wants, I mean, the record's left open, obviously, if we got yes. Your back from P&Z.
So. It would definitely be left open for the purposes of getting the recommendation from planning and zoning.
And
then, anything else you want to leave it open for, we can.
And then, Mike, with regard to that, planning and zoning, it's on their agenda for this week, Thursday?
It is.
So let's just assume for a moment that they actually do provide a recommendation. And in the past, will we keep our record open for the comment on that decision?
No, not normally.
Well, not normally.
I know we've only done that. I know we have recently. So
there's only been one case I'm aware of okay. That we've done that.
And that was at the request of the applicant.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to reassure. Just yes. Make sure. So let's talk timelines, and because after today we've only got two more meetings, right? For the rest of the year, and so. There are two members not here. Mm-hmm. George will not be here. I will not be here next year. So we have to defer today anyways. So it could come back on our schedule for next week, Tuesday, or worst case scenario, the 11th, correct?
Correct.
For a decision. Mm-hmm. And then if it were, for whatever reason, went beyond that, then only three members would be able to vote.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
You two, and then Sam, who is right. Not here.
Yes.
And he would have to review this record.
Correct.
So, okay. With that being said, IG, you want to keep it open for DelDOT?
The answer is I do not want to leave. I would employ us to get an answer from Delta, but we have never been successful in that. We've never been successful to say, we're going to leave this record open to hear from Delta, because Delta takes the position that, you know, if you guys approve it, we'll go to work, right? So to ask them to do something prior to approval, it would be completely out of, because I would like to do that with a whole lot of things, right? I mean, I would. And
that gets back down to yeah.
It's just this chicken and egg. So I would really like to press DelDOT to say, hey, there's a concern. We'd like you to address it. But I don't want to, if they never answer the call, I don't want the record to stay open, you know, to leave the record open. And then leave it down to the three of us. I don't like that, right? I would rather say, let's get an answer, but let's get a vote too, right?
Well, could we leave the record open then for a week, right? I mean, we haven't until the 11th.
We're going to have to.
Well, we have to anyways. So why not, therefore, allow DelDOT to address the question?
I would like that.
At least get a response. They may do nothing, but or they may actually do something. But we can keep the record open, right? And then get it back on our schedule before the end of the year to have a vote.
Right.
If my goal would be to vote with this body that heard it.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I would suggest if you're planning to leave the record open for, in addition to planning and zoning, but any DelDOT comments by next week, that then the record be left open until Monday of the following week till December the 10th,
at
4:30 p.m. in writing, so any member of the public, or including the applicant and opponents, can respond to that in writing. And then Ms. Cornwell could report that to the council on the 11th, and then it would be prepped for a vote. You're shaking your head. No, that's the same thing we did with another one today.
Well, no, that's only because that one has, I'm just trying to think, sorry, I'm just thinking out loud, thinking, and Delda could try and answer the question now to at least give you a time frame if they think they will be able to get within a week the ability to provide a transition project. Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking to determine whether or not within a week you guys can answer if there will be a transition plan between
the project. That's all we want to know.
Project.
Is, is that timing okay?
Right. So a week would be great to be able to address it with our chief traffic engineer, Mark Lutz, Jennifer Snelling for Delta. So yeah, we can address it with him, get a response from him and Peter Haig in regards to, is there any traffic improvements we could do in the interim? That's part of the discussion we're having with them right now in regards to the 5 points.
If you don't mind, Mike, do we have to reopen this? Do we have to reopen the public hearing?
No, because she's just being asked a question.
Can
you respond?
I want to make sure we're doing it procedurally correct.
No, it's just for the, she's just responding to the question, can she have it next week?
Yes, next week is actually doable. Again, we're having internal discussions for the 5 points working group. That's why I clarified with the with the project engineer for Miles Conway that Old Mill Road is indeed included in the project scope. So again, we're looking at interim improvements prior to the projects coming online. So I will be able to reach out to
you. So you understand the question?
I do understand the question.
And we'll have Janelle send something in writing, but you can get started that probably in a half hour.
Now like
you can
now. Start. Like as soon as I walk back to my phone. Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're closed. We're closed.
I understand if the council will allow, I forgot to sign in. Oh,
you can do that.
Sure,
yes,
absolutely.
Sir. Sign in twice if you want to.
All right.
That's what we're going to do then.
Yep.
We've already asked the question. We're going to allow 7 days for the answer by next Tuesday. And then the public have a comment from there to the following Monday at 4:30.
Right.
And then be on our agenda on the 11th.
Yep. Right.
Everybody understand? Go okay with that?
I
make that motion to defer.
I'll move that motion as stated and defer it.
Second that motion. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Next, sir.
Yes, it's change of zone.